You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, July 3rd, 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and my guest in the first half hour today is Rita Smith. Now, Rita will be calling in at about quarter after the hour, in about 10 minutes, which gives me enough time to introduce my story and Rita to you. The story, again, I'm revisiting is the Alamo Ministry, and we've covered this story in depth ever since they were raided in stormtrooper-like fashion last September, October, and November. Children have been taken, some nursing babies, over 35 of them are in custody. In what has become, I believe, the watershed case, and a case that should be trumpeted all across this country as a violation of our human rights, as a violation of our freedom of religion. But it basically is put in a little bottle and corked up and thrown back into the garbage by the mainstream media. And these people have been labeled unfairly a cult. These people have been labeled secretive just recently in an article, which I want to get into in a moment, which is totally outlandish. But I can bet that the people of Texarkana are saying the same thing, because that's all they get their news from. They get their news from a reporter who's told how to cover the story or is edited by the editor. And when you read these stories, if you're a journalist like me who spent years in the media doing the exact same thing, you kind of snicker a little bit and go, you know, I know how they can do this. And I'm going to take that aspect of the story and just explain it a few minutes before Rita Smith comes in. But, you know, when Rita comes on, you're going to see something that's quite interesting. I was just talking about it this morning before the show. God has a funny way of working sometimes. You don't really understand it. Last week we had on Joan Decker. Her daughter, Bethany, is now in jail because she won't disclose the location of some of her children. A couple have been taken into custody already. While in jail, she met Rita Smith. Rita Smith got out of jail, is now in the Alamo Ministries, and they're helping Rita Smith. So Bethany was basically in jail under the most hardest circumstances you can imagine. One, your children are taken away. Two, you want to defend your other children. Three, you got an out-of-control government that puts her in jail. And in jail, she spends the time trying to help someone else. And now Rita Smith is with the Alamo Ministry trying to get her life back together. So really, we have to look at what God's plan really is for us. And in that case, look what Bethany did. And I was talking about this also this morning. You know, when we're confronted with this Vatican-led New World Order, are you afraid to just confront it head-on? You have to look at what your role is, what God has planned for you. And there has to be a reason. So if we're, like my friend just told me, in the middle of the belly of the beast, and we're wondering why, just remember that God has a plan for us, and there's a reason. And so use it wisely. Use it, your words forthrightly, and don't be afraid to speak your mind. We have a country that would rather sell out their neighbor, rather listen to a goofy newspaper like the Texarkana Gazette and some reporters who are just there making a pittance for a living and their editors telling them what to do. And I'll bet you in Lynn LaRue's heart, who wrote this story, I wish she'd go back and read it again, because I'll tell you what, I could piece it apart, and I may do that, but I only have like 6 minutes before Rita's on. But let me just tell you why. I've covered the Alamo Ministry story from most every aspect. Covered it from the human aspect, covered it from Tony Alamo's side. Tony's been on my show many times. I've covered it from people in the ministry who have come forward, who have been there. I mean, not just one person, but many people have come forward and said there's absolutely no abuse. I've covered it from the side of the legal end, where Philip Kuhn, the lawyer of these children, has now filed an injunction in federal court. And I might add, the latest on that is that the judge in the case in the federal court denied the motion by the prosecution, although he did mention that you read between the lines, he was a little bit siding with them, but he had to. He couldn't just dismiss the case yet. So what he did is he allowed Mr. Kuhn 45 days to get evidence that the state was acting in bad faith when they took these children. Also, he opened a motion to allow discovery, which means that they are allowed now to get some internal documents from the state of Arkansas. And I wonder how fast they are now trying to use that paper shredder to get rid of as much as they can. Well, you know what? We know what already happened. These kids should already be out. And you got to thank Mr. Kuhn for walking the extra legal mile here to try and help. Again, in a system that is stacked up against the Alamo Ministry and the American people. So here we have Mr. Kuhn now. He's got 45 days, so we're going to wait on this. The children got 45 more days before another ruling. This should, you know, I've seen injunctions move like this. The snap of a finger. In a case especially like this, Judge, Mr. Kuhn can't say it, but I can say it. The parents can't say anything because they're under a gag order. They'll be in jail. If they say anything more, but I'll say it. You're dragging your feet. You're sitting there and you're with your black robes on, keeping these kids behind, away from their parents for 45 more days, and you don't really give a damn. But I hope in those 45 days, Mr. Kuhn brings enough evidence that you can just walk back into your little chambers and shake your heads and say, well, we tried our best, but, you know, sometimes God just wins. And that's exactly it. Maybe you ought to go to one of your Protestant churches or one of your Catholic churches, Judge, and sit down and say a prayer. Boy, you'll see how hypocritical you really are. Because there's been far more, doesn't take, a brain surgeon to figure this out, or a Harvard law grad. And who cares about Harvard law? I mean, where did those people ever get the idea that they were the cream of the crop? What they are, the cream of the sellouts, is what they are. That's Yale, Harvard, the rest of them. You can take them all, and most of them, they're all the cream of the sellouts over there. I wouldn't even, when I start thinking of those universities, I start getting sick, because that's really what they are. We put our hands, our country, and the leadership of those young men and women who are nothing more than elite sellouts who'll do anything to make a buck, and they could care less about America or the people there in this country. And that's what we call education. An educational system controlled by the Jesuits, by the way. So anyway, I got off there on a little sidetrack. Rita will be with us shortly. But anyway, when you look at this Alamo Ministry story, I've covered it from all angles. I left off with the legal angle. We've had Mr. Kuhn on, so we know where we stand there. Now, let me just say this. Now, when you start looking at our Constitution and you start looking at this case, it doesn't take long for you to figure out that equal protection is being violated, freedom of religion is being violated. These kids have no right. They have no right to come in there and disrupt the religious views of people and use it to take children away when there's no threat. Now, in this article that appeared yesterday, she opens it up with that they have 45 days, and then gets into some of the particulars, and then talks to, gives Munzel a few quotes while giving the parents not one quote in this story, by the way, outside of what Kuhn said on their behalf. And that's how this whole story's been covered. You know, if she was really honest, she'd go out and she'd have a story every day about one of the parents giving their side of the story, letting the people of Texarkana know. But you know what? She puts in a quote where Munzel defends what they're doing and then says something like, well, the Alamo ministry's not like every other family. They're secretive. They live in a congregate, which is nothing more. The people in Texarkana call it a compound. That's what they want you to know. It's kind of like a Waco thing, right? You know what happened to those people. So where did this secretiveness start? I don't think they're very secretive. They're out there every day passing out their literature against the real beast, the Vatican. I don't think that's very secretive. And in fact, when they talk about secretive, don't they have privacy rights like you or me? You know, I'm a pretty secretive guy in my house. I don't want somebody, I shut the blinds at 9. I don't want somebody walking in my house. I don't have to tell people around me what I'm doing every minute of the day. That's a privacy right. That's a normal family. I don't think they're that secretive. You want to go over there, just walk on to their ministry. They'll open up their heart to you. They'll give you a meal. They'll talk to you, people of Texarkana. But you'll listen to a quote by a DHS worker that ought to probably be in jail. And guess what? Now people in Texarkana are going, well, these people are secretive. They're trouble. Well, what the hell is secretive, by the way? You know, can't you? You know, they're no different from us. Do they get privacy rights? Yes. Do they have a right to practice their religion? Yes. Do they have a right to speak out when there's injustice? Yes. And do
Hello?
They have a right? Yeah, I'm going to get to my guest in 1 second. Do they have a right to have a quick and speedy remedy in this case? Yes. Both Tony Alamo and the ministry do. And we'll get to that later. As I said, my guest today is Rita Smith. And Rita Smith was in the Texarkana jail where she met Bethany. Bethany is the daughter of Joan Decker and Ron Decker, whose daughter, and she's the daughter of two members of the Alamo ministry who have raised their family, their grandchildren, their children there over 30 years, never have seen one bit of abuse. But Miss Munzel really knows about it, yeah. She knows everything, doesn't she? She knows what her bosses tell her to do. And I'll tell you what, someday she's going to look herself in the mirror and say, man, it wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth it. But at this particular juncture, here we are. So Rita Smith is in jail. She meets Bethany. Now, Bethany's in there under the worst of circumstances. She talks to Rita. Rita's out. Rita's now at the Alamo Ministry. And I wanted to get Rita's comments. Rita Smith, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, this is a really interesting story. My name's Greg Szymanski. I'm the host of the Investigative Journal radio show on LibertyRadioLive.com. I'm covering this story for months from the fair side of the fence, because these people have not been given a fair shake. Tell me how this whole thing transpired and how you ended up at the Alamo Ministry. Go ahead, Rita.
Okay. Back February the 17th, I had bought a bus ticket to come to Texarkana from Mobile, Alabama, to turn myself in because I had federal charges, plus I had a warrant on state from Texarkana, Arkansas. And I get down here, and I was put in jail one night at Bi-State. They transferred me over to Miller County.
Okay.
And I went in, and at that point in time, you know, I had never heard about Tony Alamo Christian Ministry in my entire life. I've never even heard about the ministry. Well, I'm in jail, and I'm hearing all these people talk about the Alamos and Christian ministry and how they had done this and how they had done that. Unbeknownst to me, I did not realize that one of the ladies there was from the Alamo Christian Ministries until later. Well, I ended up meeting Bethany Myers. She had this glow about her that was just awesome, and all I ever saw her do was read her Bible, and of course I had found the Lord by then also. or I had felt like I had. And I would be reading my Bible, and I'd hear all these people talking about the Alamos, the Alamos. Well, I finally
tell me, Rita, in jail, what did you hear? Mostly negative things about them from the people in jail?
Yes, sir, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Of course, me being, you know, just getting in jail, I started listening to some of those things about the Alamos. And I really did. I heard, you know, about the molestation of the children, and of course I had my 2 cents that I put in it. I mean, though, I'm not going to tell you that I just started off believing what was going on, because I didn't. I honestly believed that this could have happened, you know, because of everything that I was being told. Because hearsay does do a lot of damage to people. And I started getting around Bethany, and we started reading the Bible, and we started studying the Bible. And this woman was so, I mean, nothing could make her mad, nothing. She would say, it doesn't matter, the Lord will take care of it. And I had never seen a woman that was, I mean, she was just so filled with God. I just wanted to be a part, I wanted to be around her 24/7. And we started reading. We read all the time. She taught me so much. And she taught me the truth about Jesus Christ. You know, and it was so wonderful. And she, I would have revelations. I would be over in my bed, and I'd be reading one of Brother Alamo's tracts. And I'd run over there to Bethany, and I'd say, Bethany, look, look, this is talking about me. And we would talk for hours about Jesus Christ. And you know, like I said, I had my negative things to say also, but at that point in time, I saw the truth. The Lord let me see the truth. This woman is in jail for no reason. She should be out. You know, I don't understand why people are going against this ministry, because they're Christians. And God will get them for it one day. God will get these people, because I'm going to tell you something. I have never, even when I moved out there, the feds wanted me out of there. And you know, that's
yeah,
so
let's
wrong
back up, though. Let's, before, we got time, so don't worry about it. We got a whole half hour, so I want to get every bit of this story. We'll move forward to what happened to you when you got out. But let's go back inside the jail where you were at. So you were there for months, heard nothing but negativity. In fact, you know, a normal thing is to, like anybody, if any of us were in your situation, had not heard about them, you may have a difference of opinion based on what you hear, without hearing their side of the story.
Right.
And so then you meet Bethany, and you spend many nights talking together. Talk to us about how this relationship, how it changed your relationship with the Lord, and how things started to change in your heart about what the ministry was all about. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, whenever I started hanging around Bethany and we started reading the Bible, it was not just during the night. We would read all day long. Off and on, we would talk about Jesus Christ, and she would tell me the truth, and she would say, Rita, you know, it's your soul that has to be saved. You know, you have a soul, and you're either going to go to heaven or hell. And she started teaching me that Jesus Christ hung on the cross for us once, not a whole bunch of times so that we could continue to sin and sin. She said, once you know the Bible, you're supposed to live by the Bible from A to Z. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to be true to the Word, because the Lord's not just a wishy-washy God. You know, you have to live by the Word of God. And it was like, and she just kept telling me, and then I'd hear people talking about it. As a matter of fact, there was an incident with a lady that was in there that was cussing at us, because we were reading the Bible, because they believed all this stuff that had been going on in the paper, because they want to hear what the news says. They want to believe what these people are saying. And it was like, no, you know, and this woman, I went to her and I said, how dare you cuss God's people, because God's going to get you for this. The very next day, she found out that her dad had shot himself in the chest. How many people shoot themselves in the chest? And I went to her and I said, see what I'm telling you? You cannot tell me that this is not of God. Here you are cussing Bethany, and I know for a fact she's of God, and you did this. And I said, you've got to stop going against these people. Stop talking about the Alamos, because they're truly of God. And I mean, of course, she wanted to keep believing the heresy and the false accusations against the Alamos, and it was so sad because I kept seeing all these people have things. The day that I went to court, there were six of us that went to court, and all of them were praising God, and but yet they were cussing the night before against God. I was the only one that was let out, and I went in there and I said, "See, you can't tell me that with y'all going against God that this is not of God, because I'm getting out. Out of all of us, y'all were supposed to get out, not me, and God allowed me to get out." And they just, they believe all this stuff that's being said, and it's so wrong, because the Christian ministry out there is nothing like everybody is saying it is. They're nothing but of love, and they want to help save souls. They want to be a vessel for God. And I've never known is the love that I had out there. I mean, I miss it so bad because I can't be out there right now. Here's a case.
We have about 3 minutes before our break. We take for 3 minutes. Then you just stay on the line, and then we will come back for another session, another half hour, for as long as we need. But let me just mention this. There was an article just probably unbeknownst to you, or maybe not, so because you're out now, you're out of jail now. But just recently, I think it was in fact yesterday, where the newspaper reporter quoted the CAP, the Child Services Director or spokesperson there, that one of the reasons that makes this case strange is the Alamo ministry is very secretive. They live in a congregate. And the point being is that your story shows they're not very secretive. Here you meet Bethany, who's very open about everything in the ministry, talks to you about the Lord, talks to you about the situation. That doesn't sound too secretive to me, does it to you, Rita?
No, but what's so secretive about Jesus Christ is it's been going on for thousands of years. People have always gone against the people of Jesus Christ. I mean, what's so secret? Pick up a Bible. If people would pick up a Bible, they would see exactly what the Alamos are about, because that's what they're about, is the Bible. They read it from A to Z, and they live it from A to Z. And I'm talking about from Genesis to Revelation. They don't say, "Well, God has given me this promise." They'll tell you up front, you don't get this promise unless there's a condition behind it. God, like they say, God is not a wishy-washy God. There's nothing, the only thing they're being secretive about right now is the gag order, because they cannot talk about what's going on in court. That's the only thing right now. And I mean, I've been out, and I hear people saying, "Well, why is it that we can't go out to the Christian ministry? Why is it?" You can. Come on now. Let us show you what this is about. Nobody has ever shut the door on anybody that wants to come into our church. You know, and that's
right now,
so
here's
sad.
The point. Here's what I'm saying now, and we got about a minute here. They're depicting the ministry as secretive just recently. I know the people at Texarkana who read this know nothing about it will believe it. I'm saying it's never been that case. I've showed it very honestly in this show for years. And you now see it up close and personal after being in jail and just having your life now being rearranged and them helping you. And we'll get into that in the next half hour, when you got out of jail and what happened. But just in the last few minute here before we take our break, what was a little bit different about Bethany than some of the other inmates there?
She had a glow about her. She truly loved Jesus Christ. It showed from her toes to the top of her head. She didn't get angry. She didn't cuss. She was just so easygoing. She was trying to help grab the souls. People would cuss at her, and she would just pray for them. You know, and I've never seen anybody like Bethany Myers in my entire life. She was the most wonderfulest lady I have ever met in my life, and I pray to God, and I pray for her every night that she'll hurry up and get home, because she has no reason to be in jail. Her children being taken away, there is no reason for it. She loves her kids. She is a wonderful woman. And I don't understand why a government like we have can do something to somebody that is just so holy and so lovable and so in love with Jesus Christ. I don't understand it.
Well, we're going to try and answer that question in the next half hour, so you just stay right on the line. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
day I was crying, lost in a lost world. So many people are dying, lost in a lost world.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. My guest is Rita Smith. Rita Smith was in the Texarkana jail since last February, met Bethany Myers of the Alamo Ministry, began to talk about the Word of God. Her opinions about the ministry were changed drastically after never knowing about the Alamo Ministry last February, going into that jail where this story has erupted and hearing all about it, negative things. And then she meets Bethany, and her world has changed. And like I said, God has a hand in what we do, folks. And we're here for a reason. We have to explore that reason. And Bethany Myers helped Rita Smith do that. And we're going to pick up the story right where Rita's now getting out of jail and how she now is now, the Alamo Ministry has opened up her heart to her. She's living there. And it's a far cry better than where she was. and there's nothing secret about this. It's very quite open. And I will lay, I will bet every penny I have, which is only, you know, that when the people of Texarkana read this story that came out yesterday, and I say the next statement, I say this, our listeners, send them these articles, send them articles that I've written, other people have written about the side of the ministry you don't hear about in the media. Send them all the interviews, or any of the ones you can find on my website. Send them to the drugstore. Send them to the real estate agencies. Send them to the people in Texarkana. And say this. If you think they're so secretive, why don't you go take a drive out there and talk to them, have lunch with them? Because they're not going to turn you away. They'll tell you everything about what they're doing. Secondly, the people of Texarkana will not go there, most of them, and I will lay all the money I have on that, because you know why? They're going to think if they're connected to the ministry, the government's going to come down on them. So there's a fear factor here going on, and nobody wants to upset the apple cart. How does that sound? Does that sound pretty interesting, Rita Smith?
Yes, sir, and I want to let you know, I was living out there from April the 28th until last Friday. I was told by the federal government I could not live out there because there's too much controversy going on out there, too many allegations. Well, from when I've been out there, I lived out there. I was out there 24/7. And I'm going to tell you something. I have never been happier in my entire life. I was able to have, we have what we consider groups every day at 10, 1, and 4, and we praise the Lord, and we read the Bible. How can that be wrong? And then the government says, no, you can't live out there. We'll be a llama.
Okay, well, tell us, let's pick up when you got out of jail, and then tell us what happened.
Okay, well, they came and picked me out. A lady by the name of Debbie came out and picked me up, her and another sister, came and picked me up at the jail whenever I was released, and we went out to the ministry. They fed me a wonderful supper that night. We had our services, which we have every night at 8 o'clock. And they, you know, I didn't have any clothes with me. I didn't have anything. And I have to pay the government or the federal government $150 a month. And then with the state,
why do you have to pay them?
Because I was having to pay restitution for the crime that I had committed, for which I was in jail for in the first place.
Oh, so now they want to... Okay, go ahead. That's another story in itself.
Yes, sir. And then I had state that I had to pay, because now I'm on state probation. Well, they paid all of that for me. They were feeding me. They got me clothes. I mean, they were teaching me the word of Jesus Christ. I mean, and then the federal government steps in and says, you can't be there. You cannot be there. Remind you, Tony Alamo has not been convicted of anything at this point in time. They would rather me... Now, whenever I was in Mobile, Alabama, my charges for the federal started in Mobile, Alabama, or Bain Bonnet, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I was homeless. They let me out of jail knowing that I had this warrant here in Texarkana. They let me out of jail on December the 19th, and I had nowhere to go. That was on a Friday. Monday, I went to the federal probation office, and I said, please put me back in jail. I'm not from around here. I have no place to go. Mm-hmm. They would not do anything. They said, well, wait until after the holidays, and we'll help you out. We'll get you into a halfway house. Well, that was after January the 1st, and it was like, well, wait a minute. But now that I'm actually in a place, well, I have a place to live. I have food. I'm learning the word of God, the true word, not this heresy that everybody else teaches, the true meaning of Jesus Christ. They're saying, no, you can't be there. This makes no sense to me. None. Now you ought to see the place that I'm living in now. You know, I mean, it's completely, totally different. The federal probation office, the officer showed up yesterday, and he sees the difference in where I'm living now compared to where I was living. And it's like it makes no difference to him. He would rather me be out on the streets or in a place like I am right now than to be out there at a Christian-based place where I'm learning the Word of God. And I, my Alabama,
okay, so you got out, you went over there. Now the federal government has demanded that you leave, so you had to leave, or what would they have done to you?
They were giving me two choices. You either find a place in Arkansas to live or go back to Mobile, Alabama. One of the two. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're either going to do one of the two things.
But they wouldn't let you stay at the ministry.
They will not let me stay at the ministry at this point in time. And yesterday, whenever I talked to my probation officer, my federal probation officer, I said, well, when, not if, but when, Brother Alamo is showed not guilty for all these outrageous charges that they've put up against him, then will I be able to go out there? He said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Well, first of all, if you've ever been at the Alamo Christian Ministry, you would know that everything that's going against Brother Alamo is nothing but lies, because I would be willing to bet my soul going to heaven that with what I've been taught out there, I'm going to tell you something. The brothers and the sisters don't mix. You stay separated from each other. There's no possible way that the man that has is a part of this ministry could ever do the things that they are accusing him of doing. I mean, it's outrageous, and it's like, how can somebody really in their right mind see something like this, which is completely lies? I don't understand it. I mean, even listening to his tapes and his CDs, you can just, you're drawn to the Holy Spirit, because he's so wholly filled with the Spirit. It's just unreal. And everything he says in his tract, he has scriptures that backs it up. And anybody that has ever read a tract that would actually just sit down and read one of his tracts or listen to his CDs, there's no way they can't say this man is not of God.
This is interesting, and let me just break in here, because let's talk about this from a legal perspective. Now, when you are, the ministry in Falk is in Arkansas, and you live in Alabama, and you're out basically on parole, correct?
Right. Well, I'm on probation, federal probation.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
probation,
sir.
I used the wrong word. Basically, you want to get your life back together. The Alamo ministry wants to help you, correct?
Yes, sir.
They've offered you a nice place to stay. The time you were there, did you ever see any abuse at all going on?
No, sir. I never even saw anybody as much as raise their voice. It's awesome out there. It's so loving, and they live as... It's not a compound. It's not a cult. It's a ministry where you help each other. If they see you doing something, of course they're going to say, hey, listen, that's not godly, because they want to see you go to heaven. They're trying to help you get your soul to heaven, because they believe in heaven and in hell. People today don't understand there really is a hell. But they're going to understand once all this is over and done with. All these people that are going against this ministry, they're going to wish 1,000 times over. Just like Judge Hudson, excuse me for mentioning him, but I'm going to mention him. He was warned of what was going to happen. He was told, repent. He was given a tract saying, you know, if you don't stop going against this ministry and going against God's people, something's going to happen. And of course, he went in on a minor surgery and ended up dying. Before he ever died, he was gnashing and wailing his teeth, and his wife even put it on the computer. I don't know where this hell is coming from, but he was warned. He said it would not sway his decision one way or the other. Why can't people understand that they are truly going against God's people here? You know, I would never dare go. I mean, it scares me. It really honestly scares me, because I see what these people are all about. They're wonderful. There's a difference in love God than the one that is going to get you for all these things that you are doing against this ministry, because when you're doing it against his ministry, you're doing it against him.
Now, yes, and basically then, You go to the ministry. You want to stay there to get your life back together. You're in Arkansas. It appears to be the alternative that he gave you was Arkansas or Alabama. It appears to me that you would have a better chance of getting your life back together living there than on your own, knowing no one, with no money. And he tells you you can't stay there. Did he? When you said, I have a better opportunity of getting myself on my feet at the Alamo Ministry, what did he tell you was the reason? Was there any legal reason he gave you to infringe upon your rights as a human being to live either in Arkansas under the terms or in Alabama?
Well, first of all, I'm not from Alabama. They wanted me to go back there or find a place here in Texarkana. Alabama, I know no one except the people that I had met while I was out homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, in other words, you would rather me be homeless in Alabama than to be where I can learn about Jesus Christ and have a place to live and know that my fines and fees are taken care of. Then, I mean, this makes no sense to me, Greg. None.
Right, and what did he say to you when you said you wanted to stay at the Alamo Ministry there in Arkansas? What did he say?
He said you have two decisions. He said there's too much controversy and too many allegations. And just like I said, they're only allegations. And God will show up. God's going to show up and show out, because whenever you're in the right, when you're with God, God's going to back you. You know,
and
I mean,
he gave you no reason. Basically, he was told that no one's supposed to go there, and he is basically infringing upon your constitutional rights. He's basically working with the people who want to disrupt this ministry, and the reason they're doing all these things is to disband these people, to get rid of anybody who speaks against the Vatican, who talks honestly about the connection of the Vatican government, of the Vatican to the American government, and who's not afraid to say that the Pope is the Antichrist. It's that simple. And these people may not understand it, but that's where the orders are coming from. And so anybody caught up in this. Now, the people in Texarkana are afraid to go over there because the state is going to come down on them with a hammer. People who want to talk up against the about the ministry and dispel these allegations are harassed by the FBI. People like you who have been taken in by the ministry with open arms are told they can't stay there. What does it look like to everyone listening? Does it sound like they want to do something more than just get at few abuse charges? Probably the charges that they have are trumped up by people who want to lie just to get some money, or who want to turn tail on what happened to them at the ministry. Perhaps they're looking for anybody to lie so they can build their case on more lies. And when the truth is to be spoken, they're trying to shut everybody up.
Amen.
That's my analysis. What's yours after being with the ministry, Rita?
I believe everything you're just saying, because that's absolutely the truth. I'm going to tell you something. I've been raised in Texarkana. I've been here off and on all my life, and I'm 49 years old. I've seen how the judges here have been paid off. I see how things have happened here all my life. And I'm going to tell you something. Anything that is of God, it's been back since way back thousands of years ago. People always went against it because they couldn't understand it. Well, if they just stop and go out there, we would love to have more than a room full of people out there, because I'm going to tell you something. If anybody would ever just go out there, they would see that Brother Alamo teaches the truth. He teaches what the government is doing. Whenever the government sit here and says it's okay for gays to get married, you know, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says no one that is gay is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. No whoremonger, no liar, no, and people don't understand. That's what Brother Alamo teaches. Stop doing your sins. You know, Acts 5:29 says it's better to obey God rather than man. You know, and my probation officer said, well, the Bible says that you should obey your authority. Only if you are under God's will are you to obey authority. Because whenever the government is okaying things that they are okay, it's okay for a child to go get out here and get pregnant, that's fornication, and then turn around and have an abortion, everybody's okay with that. That's two sins right there that are major sins, but yet they want to go against Tony Alamo because he's teaching the truth. And it's like, this makes no sense to me. If people would just stop what they're doing and quit going against this ministry, first of all, God's going to get them for it. All we have to do is get on our knees and pray. That's our warfare. We get on our knees and we pray, Lord, please change the hearts, because God wishes that none should perish. And these people are not understanding, Greg. God is a merciful God under the conditions that you are doing what he asked you to do. And Brother Lama goes against the Vatican because the Vatican is nothing but Satan himself. And it's sad that all these things are going on.
Well, listen, I hope you'll be able to go back to the Alamo ministry.
Me too.
And I think we've shown how wrong these people are in keeping you from there. But let's touch on the subject from what you learned at the ministry. The real sad part of this story, Bethany's still in jail.
Yes.
Her children are still in foster care, as well as so many other children. Just your comments about this, because I know it must be tearing you up inside as well.
It does, because I know this woman. I've stayed with her day and night. I know what she's all about, and it's so sad to see her in jail whenever she has never even told a lie in her life. You know, I mean, it's so sad that somebody that is so true to God could be in jail. But there's got to be a reason other than these government people wanting her in there, because I'm going to tell you something. God's going to make it so she'll come out. But in the meantime, she helped save my soul. Through her, Jesus used her to help save my soul, and I'm so grateful for that, you know, because I was going straight to hell, you know, and she taught me the right ways. And I just pray every day that she'll come out, her and Don, because there's no reason for them to be where they are. It's so sad. And to watch the faces of these other people that are out there at the Alamo ministry do without their kids, and they're holding on. They just keep praying to God that he'll make a move, and I know that he's going to. But, you know, just as bad as Don and Bethany are in jail, these people are out there. They have children that they dearly love, and I see it tearing them apart. And it's so sad that the government won't just go ahead and give these kids back, because these kids are smart. They're being raised up in the Word of God, and it just tears me apart to see their eyes and know that they're without their children because they believe in Jesus Christ. What is so wrong with that? You know, I could see it if they were out there doing all kinds of things, but they're not. They're trying to get the true Word of God out, and it just tears me apart that somebody could go against this ministry like they are, because they are so loving and they're so truthful and they're so willing to help others, and it's just so sad. And I just pray that Brother Alamo will get out and all this will be over and done soon, because they don't deserve what's happening to them. They really don't. And I'm not in the ministry right now. I get to go out there for church, but I'm going to tell you something. I love every single one of them, you know, because they have showed me the right way of living. They have been there to support me and to help me as far as teaching me the Word of God. And I don't mean monetary value. I'm talking about the Word of Jesus Christ. Greg, it's just so sad, and it just hurts my heart to see all this going on against them.
Now, did the... Now the good old what's your federal officer there who's telling you what to do and making it easier for you to fall into a trap of going back to jail.
Right.
Why don't you ask him if you're allowed to vacation in Arkansas or Alabama? I mean, can you take an extended vacation? I mean, like for example, everybody now is going on a vacation for the 4th of July. I'm sure he's going on a small vacation. I don't think your probation prohibits you from going on a slight vacation, do you?
No, sir. They should. No. But because
well, you just tell them that you want a vacation over at the ministry because they got a 3-day little 4th of July festival going on. And you want
to
spend
2 days.
Yeah, just tell them, hey, I want to go on my holiday just like you do, sir. But I'm going to go on my holiday where I choose. Is that okay? I'm not leaving Arkansas. Is there any borders or boundaries? I want to go on vacation, have an Independence Day holiday with my friends.
I think I'll do that. See what he says. Because right now he does not want me even, I mean, he's allowed me to be able to go out there at 8 o'clock at night to go to the services, but he is not liking it whatsoever. But just like I told him, you're infringing on my rights to be able to worship the way I want to worship. You know, and
and he's gonna, and I'm sure the good old officer there doesn't want to infringe upon your rights to celebrate the freedom of America on Independence Day, would he now?
Oh, well, have you talked to the federal government lately? They don't care. They really don't.
Well, that's what you got to tell them. Just trust me and put it in those terms. And I think, you know, if he starts restricting your vacation time, my God, we can't have that happen in America.
Maybe.
Now, all these people, they are going to go out and celebrate and barbecue and get drunk and have a great independent blow-off firecrackers. And, you know, I think you have a right to also vacation in Arkansas, don't you?
That's true. That's very true. And but he doesn't care. He really doesn't. As long as I'm not able to worship Jesus Christ, and that's how I'm taking it right now, is that they don't want me worshiping Jesus Christ. And they feel like if I get away from there, then maybe I'll fall into the heresy and the evilness that this world is in right now. He doesn't care about my soul. And just like I told him, I said, you know what? Are you willing to bet your soul when you go and you die? Are you willing to bet your soul because you're having me come out of a ministry that is teaching me about Jesus Christ? And his comment, this is the probation officer out of Alabama. He said, we are not going to discuss my salvation anymore. This is not something that we will discuss. Well, you know what? Jesus tells me that I'm supposed to talk about Jesus Christ to give you a chance to switch over. They don't want to listen to it. They don't care. They don't believe that the ending of time is coming. They don't really care. They just want to close Alama Christian Ministries down because they teach the truth.
Well, you're absolutely right. And let me say this. I want you to stay strong where you're at. Someday you'll be back for where you want to live. You can go back to the ministry. I'm sure it's going to happen. Just be strong. Don't fall into their traps. And by being on this show, the little that I can offer you is that there's a kind of an extended family that listen to the show all over America and the world. And anybody that listens and knows you will help you anytime you're anywhere in vicinity of them. I've seen it happen before where people on my show have then met people in Colorado, have met people in New Jersey, and there are people around that will help you forever. And that's the little thing that I can do by getting you on this show. So I just want you to know that even though you might not think about it, there are people out there listening, and there are people that care about what's happening to you, and you'll have a helping hand no matter what. And I hope that things clear up quickly for you. But just remember that, okay?
Praise God. Thank you, Greg. And it's been wonderful being on your show. And I just want America to know, please don't go against God's people.
Okay. You know, thank you so much. We're going to have to say goodbye. We're all out of time. And we will have you on again, Rita, so you stay safe, okay?
Thank you, and praise God.
Okay. We're all out of time. Have a good day. Back Monday.